Hello, we're on the air. BBS Radio is always on the air. But I'm on the air. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook. Whew, what a day. How many of you just had what a day? Anyway, let's talk a minute about how you ponder. I ponder sometimes like that of a butterfly. And I write and I write and I write to freely put myself out there in the World Wide Web. It's because it's so freely given to me from the Lord, the freedom that reigns, and he shed his blood for me. But I was thinking, as that of a butterfly does, the birth of its cocoon and its watery blood is a single drop. Did you know that? Right when it's birthed, it's got a watery little drip of blood. And then it bursts into flight. That's amazing, isn't it? Because the moth, the butterfly, is always, always looking at the light, searching for the light. You know how those little moths fly around in your house, and they're always at the light? Well, that's just the amazing analogy I had. I had this dream about these butterflies a couple of years ago. And I was thinking also, you know, the feathers inside of the many feathers that are the many feathers that are still wet right when they're being birthed. So it's just not that, you know, it's not that you want to crowd one another so that the butterfly will land on you, you know. But if a butterfly lands on you, that's really neat because that means it trusts you. But then as soon as you try to grasp hold of it, it flies away, doesn't it? That's like people. A lot of people are that way. Because if they don't have that control in their lives, then they'll stay. But if you try to control it or hold it, it'll fly away. What is that saying? If you love someone, set it free. If it comes back, it's meant to be. I remember that saying. My mother told it to me when I was breaking up with my boyfriend in the seventh grade. He was a twin, Bruce Hobbs and Blake, Bruce and Blake. Anyway, I feel like that sometimes I'm that fragile butterfly flying around with the colors, smudging, where people have put their fingerprints all over me and tried to control me. And if you hold a butterfly too hard, those poor little wings will break right off. But if you gently hold it, it'll stay forever a day more. That's all I've got to say about the butterfly for right now. But I was, y'all, listen to this, active listeners. I was listening to some of my words that I hear in foreign language, and it was P-U-T-A-H is how I spelled it. But it was pronounced Puta, P-U-A-H, because I just came upon that tonight. And what's so ironic about it is that, let me get to see if I can find that page, y'all. Gosh, I don't know where it is now. Oh, okay. What I was reading about when I typed it in to see what it meant, it's one of the midwives that took care of, that had to go around looking for the baby boy in Egypt because they wanted to kill him because it was Moses. Has anybody heard that story? Because it's like fearing God, and the midwives feared God. But it does say, it does say in Proverbs, 3:1, the first gaining of wisdom is the fear of God. Now, why is that? Is it because we have to obey and do what our God says, the inner being of ourself? Aren't we all inside the I am in me? Now, you all know that I don't prepare for my shows. because it takes the flavor out of the concoction of what I'm going to speak. So if you can't follow along, maybe I can't either. Let me give you some call-in numbers, and I'll just give you one. The call-in number for bbsradio.com, Kathy Cook. Cassie Hill is the same name. That was my nickname growing up. And it's the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show. If you want to talk about anything in the universe, it doesn't matter. Maybe you want to talk about your rude awakening. Maybe you want to get some prayer requests out there. Hey, maybe you want to talk about connecting, how we've connected all on Facebook or something. You know, but it's all connecting the dots. That's what life's all about. And it's all about liking somebody. Because, man, you got to like somebody before you can do anything. Like that of a child that says, I like you. Remember that? When you were little? I like that person. They liked them before they loved them. And then they'd say the words, I love you. But like is so deep. Because if you think about it, I know I want to be as Christ-like as I can. I like that. So the call-in number is 877-876-5227. That's station 1 and www.bbsradio.com. Everybody, it's like the, I want to say, you know how a baseball game goes and it's like the batter, hey, batter, 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 is getting ready to hit, but then the pitcher has this whirlwind of sand whirl up, and he has to wait before he can pitch. And that's when everybody goes around stealing the bases. I want you guys to think of this. You are a baseball team. You are every player on the team. You're the outfield as well as the infield. And you're the hitter, the batter, the hand catcher, the umpire, as well as the pitcher. Now, what game are you going to pitch yourself in life? Think of that. And what game are you going to hit that? Home run. We're a team. We're a team. The BBS radio listeners, the host, the talk show host, the guest host, the music, everything connects. If you start arguing or fighting or fussing, or you get a little jealous, that envy sets in, and it can make that weakest link. Do you remember that show, The Weakest Link? Well, I've told you this before, and I'm going to say it again. You know we marry each other. And I have a lot of good mirror people on chat, Yahoo chat and Pal Talk chat when I get on there. And we call it mirroring. We sit there and reflect back and forth what one another's saying with another concept. And it gets our minds out of the way and our hearts in there of what we want to say. And so it goes and so it goes. And we have healing conferences and all the different denominational, non-denominational religion beliefs. Forget all about all that stuff and come together when there's a crisis. And we just pray and pray and pray in our own way. It doesn't matter who or what or when or well or how. There's your what all along, your why. If you look at your when, where, how, what, there's your why all along. You know, I got really upset the other day listening to something where someone had taken a lot of words that I know only God had shared with me, and they had placed it in a book. And I thought to myself, I was so aggravated. I said, don't they know that I write everything out in paper and pen or pencil, and anybody could go and see the authentication of my paper? But at least the message is getting out there, because I want to freely give out what I've got so freely given to me. I don't want to make a dollar on it. Because, you know, if I do, then that becomes work. And that becomes an item of work. and it would take the flavor and the concoction out of everything. So I freely give it out on TNT, which is the trusted news trader on BBS Radio. If you go to the left side of your screen on BBS Radio and scroll down, you'll see the TNT news trader. You can click on that, and you can read about all different kinds of awakening, what people feel, their personalities. And you can also join yourself. You don't have to do anything. It doesn't cost anything. You just click on make a profile and then just start putting in your awakening, your feelings, your concepts about what you feel. It's a place to vent, and it's a place to learn. BBS Radio is all about you. Yeah, you, and you, and you, and you, and connecting, making the biggest links that one can grasp. When I am meditating at times, I picture myself as this big angel of wings that spread as far as the east is to the west. If I turn, my wings spread is as far as the north is to the south. I look down upon the earth, and I just grab like a fishnet, like Peter in the Bible, Simon Peter. And I just scoop up all the negativity, and I sling it and sling it and sling it around, and I throw it out into the pits. But I always say a blessing for ultraviolet flames to come, for the Saint Germain. And you know, the animals, Saint Francis, the keeper of the animals, I tell you, I'm truly blessed to have Saint Francis in my heart, because the animals talk to me all the time. And if you look at a dog in the eyes, the dog won't look back in your eyes, because they're fearful and mistrusting, and they're also very loyal and obedient. But I tell you what, you get your dog or any dog to look you in the eyes, and you've got some kind of bond there. As well as with a horse. I used to have so many horses. I had my one horse for 33 years named Fair Lady. And I didn't use a bridle or saddle or anything to ride her. And the way I caught her was I would grab her by the nostrils in between the two nostril holes. And I would pull her that way. And she thought, okay, I'm coming. One day, let me just tell you this little story. One day, she wanted to know where I was. And we had three stories in the back, because the basement was in the back of the house. But it was like a big room. She broke off the doorknob to the basement floor, I kid you not, walked in, slip sliding all over with her shoes, because it was a tile floor, up the stairs, and my mother screamed, "What's this horse doing in my living room? Get your horse out of here!" And then, not too long after that, Bucky, our little Shetland pony, comes walking up the steps to the front door. It's like, come on in. Animals love to be loved and love to know what's going on as well. Gosh, there's so much to tell you today. So much I've learned. So many concepts and perceptions of this universal world wide web. It's the behavior that is probably the most important, and our actions to reactions. Ask yourself, what's your attitude? And what's your attitude towards someone? How do you behave, and how do you act towards that person? Because that's the reactions you're going to get in return. It's like seek and find, ask and receive, knock and that door's going to be open. Every single time. It's in the Bible. That's Matthew 17:17. That's the first Bible verse that my grandmother taught my children. And we pondered on that. And we pondered on that. Just like I pondered, your credit is your name. Like that of a handshake that my dad told me right before I was going down the aisle. I said this about a year ago or so on my archives. And then again, I said it with Bunny Brown, that was a guest host with me one day. Your credit is your name. not just the credit card, but who you are. How do you act and behave? Who gets your dandruff up? And who talks about you in what kind of way? And why are they? If it's negative, I've learned that that's an envy or a jealousy or an insecurity because they want to be like you or me. And so they'll start rumors, and rumors will fly, or I'll get no phone call, or I'll be shunned. It's because I'll so actively listen. Let me tell you something else. I took these classes in school, in college, to be a counselor. I'm ADHD, as everyone knows. I have children that are ADHD that went to special school for only 100 students. We drove them 25 minutes there and 25 minutes back every single 5 days a week. And in the classes that I took while my children were in school, is I learned body language, and I learned mannerisms, and I learned tones and pitches in people's voices, and I learned to hyper-focus, focus in on exactly what each behavior was. One day, I was sitting under this big, big tree at the smoking patio at CPCC, community college, waiting on my next class to come, and I was playing with my these little animal totem cards and reading them and stuff. And this long-haired, hippie-looking guy in a trench coat, everyone knows him as Mr. Pete or Peter, that has no will or him with me right now. Anyway, my twins, girlfriends, Bunny and Bonnie, Bunny Brown that had been on the show before, they had just gotten off of Oprah Winfrey. And we're having a party, September the 17th. I'll never forget it. And they were having a party to show the film of them being on Oprah because it was the sisters of who spanked their children. And it was Julie, their little sister, and Bunny and Bonnie on the stage at Oprah Winfrey. And anyway, let me wind back. I was sitting under the tree. And I would say probably, like, maybe 5 car lengths away, there was Pete. And I saw him looking at me. He's pondering what I was doing. I had my little medicine bag with me, my little stones that I dug up from Hidden Night. I had my little animal totem cards out. I had this little, had on pink and black tennis shoes, Converse. I think, no, yeah, that's what they were. Anyway, under the tree, I looked over at him. I looked straight ahead. I turned my head, kept my eyes on him, brought my head down with my eyes still on him, on my shoulder, and then brought my head around and up with my eyes still on him. And I said to myself, if you want to talk to me, you will come to me, because the body language, staring at a person all that time, once you stare at a person in their eyes or in it magnifies. What was that noise? I heard something on the radio, internet waves. Anyway, the rule of thumb is if you look at a person for more than 3 seconds, 3 seconds, mind you, in the eyes, then you will go back and look at that person the rest of the time that you're there because it makes a magnet. Now, the person that looks at the person first, it's up to them to move their eyes away from the person they look at first because they're saying, I respect you as a human being, and I'm in your territory, and I will look away. Now, another body language, I don't know how I got on body language and tones and pitches when I started with Fear of God and all that stuff. But anyway, I hope you all are following me on this CBS radio special show. Is that I like to hear when I speak to another person I feel this and this and this, and I need you to this and this and this. Instead of you make me feel, and you cause me this and that. Because how in the world can they? Do they have your power? Do they have my power? Nobody can cause me to feel anything. I make myself my own victim in every situation when I do that. And another thing, saying sorry is thrown around so haphazardly. Because isn't sorry something you've done intentional? Isn't it? Isn't it a pardon me when you didn't intentionally do something? I just want to tell you that there's newness in the air. There's newness in the air. Awakenings are becoming broad and rampant. So remember the communication skills. And if you need to, like I'm holding the talking stick right now because I'm talking. And when a caller calls in, I need to learn to not interrupt with my brain. Because I think of it this way. Here's my brain like a room in a house in my body, the house that it's home. And when I look out the window, that's the window to my soul of the room. My mouth is the door that opens and shuts. And the air that circulates is my breathing in my nose and out. And so it goes. Inside of a brain, this is how a mind's brain works. There's little neurotransmitters that are connected. And think of each person that comes in your thought as think of each thought that you have as a person coming in to your room inside your home, inside your house of body. And then you get another thought, and another person comes in. And then you might start dwelling on something, and a crowd of people come in. And before long, there's no room in that room, so therefore, the people have to start moving to another room. Well, that fires the synapses of the neurotransmitter. And that when it fires, it routes a route into the map of the brain. And when it routes a map into the brain, then that roadmap is placed there. And you can't do nothing about it. It's going to be there. And our subconscious mind takes it, brings it in, like underneath the sofa or underneath the foundation of your house. And it will make you do head spin, stand on your head, do anything to get you to look at it because it wants to please you. The subconscious mind wants to please the person. And so, therefore, ego comes in from the id and steps in and goes, look at me, look at me, look at this thought, look at this thought, look at this thought, look at this thought, look at this idea. Why is so-and-so doing this? And, oh, you start getting these inferiority complexes going, man, I tell you what. That's what I've learned anyway. So if I start doing that, I grab hold of the carpet. I sit on the floor, grab hold of the carpet, and say, I've got something to hold on to. If I can hold on to these little pieces of carpet, then I'm not going anywhere, and nobody can move me. But just call in numbers again, or 888-815-9756. Get online. Don't be shy. Just like talking on the telephone. That's all it is. Talking on the telephone. And that's all we have for right now. I'm going to do a little meditation. Oh, wait a minute. Well, let me get a little meditation going here. Let's take a deep breath in from our abdomen, in through our nose. Hold your hands on your abdomen, in through the nose, and blow out all the negativity. Shake your hands, shake your body, just move it all around. If you can and still listen, I know you can, stand up in your spot for 1 second. Everybody do this, okay? Let's stand up. Now shake and move your head all around. like you're doing the hokey pokey and you're moving it all around. That's what it's all about. Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to take your left hand and start at the start and make a clockwise circle around yourself like a lasso, okay? And keep lassoing it in front of you like you're making a lasso, okay? Now step inside the lasso, just like the cowboys did, and then they step out, step in, step out, step in. I want you to just step in it and pull the cord up over your head like you've lassoed yourself in that circle. There's nothing else that exists in that circle but free, beautiful, wonderful energy with the lightest light of your positive energies. Now what I want you to do is, because you've got all these energies on your body from people, places, and things along the way, I want you to take your hand, your left hand again, start at your foot, pick up your foot and sweep it. Now come up your left side, keep going up to the knee, keep going up to the hip, keep bringing your hand up. Okay, now bring it up your side. That's right. Now bring it up over your face. Now sweep it down the other side, the right side of your body. That's right. Now take your right hand. I say left hand because I'm left-handed. You can do it with your right dominant hand. I prefer left because I like to go clockwise. Anyway, bring your hand down. Bring it underneath your foot. Now, the hand that's not your dominant hand, take all of that energy you swept and clap your hands together, because that non-dominant hand is where all the positiveness is staying, because our dominant hand and our dominant side of our body tends to grasp on and accumulate all the negativity. Now what I want you to do is clap your hands together one time, real hard, like this. Okay, keep them only, when you clap them like that, bring them only a fraction, just a fraction of an inch apart, and then bring them back together, almost touching, and then pull them away, and bring them back touching, and pull them away. Feel that energy field? Good. Now start circling your hands with them still clasped, not tight, real loose, like you're making a putty ball, or you're playing with Play-Doh, or you're holding a very soft, soft ball of yarn, and circling around and around. Now you're making an energy ball. Keep going. Now make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's so big, your hands are revolving over each other and around the other way. You're making a circle going over each other like you're holding the yarn while you make the ball of thread. And then you're also going left to right, right to left, and then go into a circle. Keep going into a circle. Now throw that ball. Throw it. Now you just swept all the energies that were bothering you off of you, out of your circle. Shake your hands. Brush one hand with the left. Take all of it. Throw it out. Shake your hand so fast you can't hardly see it moving. Now sweep it off the other hand. Shake it outside the circle like you can't see it. You're shaking it so fast. Almost like the shimmy shimmy. You remember back in the day when the flappers used to do their hand up in the air? You want to do it kind of like that. Or Ed Sullivan, the way he would hold his hand. Or like in a parade. But just shake it out. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to clap your hands together, sweep up the front of your body, sweep down the back of your body, Start at the bottom with both hands, like you're putting on some pants, some breeches. Pull it all the way up, like you're in a potato sack, getting ready to do a race, a one-legged race. As a partner, I want you to grab hold of the person, I mean the burlap sack, and pull it up over your head real hard. Pull, yank, bam. Okay, now you just pulled all the chakras, connecting them together. What we just did is a chakra cleaning. How did you like that, everybody? Do you feel any different? Do you? I know I do. My energy's increased. It feels light and more pure. It feels like almost like I got out of that third dimension. You know? Third dimension. The concept of what is, what we see in our eyes. Now I'm going to tell you my secret of vision testing, how I learned to do it, and vision remote viewing. I want you to take and close your eyes. Close your eyes. That's it. Now I want you to put your eyes up into your forehead. Okay? Look up into the center of your forehead. Now, pretend like your forehead is a rear-view mirror. Just see the light of another car reflecting into the rear-view mirror, like at night. And I have night vision for that. Because when you close your eyes, it's dark. Now, do you see the beams of light coming into the reflections of the mirror, the rear-view mirror? Okay, now take the rearview mirror and go into a big movie theater. That rearview mirror in your third eye is a movie theater screen. Now listen. Sit on your dominant hand's side. If you're left-handed, sit on the far back left side of the movie theater. You're the only person in there. Nobody else is in there with you. This is all your movie, your concept. Whatever's bothering you, whatever's on your mind, and whatever you want to get to, positive or negative, look at that movie screen in third eye. And remember to play back the tape. Play back the tape. Maybe it was when you hello? You're on the air. You scared me. Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I was doing remote viewing. What are you doing?
I'm talking to you.
Is this 21?
Yes, it's 21.
I called you today to see if you wanted to do the show with me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just posted on Facebook about a minute ago that I was going to call in.
The call number that I left on the answer machine, because I said 21 has got the best stories with me with the Yahoo days and how we became. Let me tell you guys, do you mind if I tell how you got the name 21? Are you going to do it?
Not at all.
21 is my 21. Can I tell who you are on Yahoo?
Oh, go for it.
Coffee Bean Queen. This is Coffee Bean Queen, everybody. Anyway, back in the day, what about 8 years ago, 21, was it? Maybe I don't even know how long ago it was. We were in the chat room, and I said, wonder why an 11 isn't a 21? And you answered back, because it has to be evenly yoked or something like that. Do you remember that? And I said, you know, that's right, because 1-1s always connect together to make a 1. It's not a 2, because you are so 1 inside. You remind me of being so centered all the time that it just That's why you're my 1E1. And so that's what we called that 1E1 back in the day.
That's right. 1111.
Uh-huh, the 1111.
1111.
I tell you, we can do some numbers together, girl, can't we?
Oh, can we ever? And it's like when I'm sending you messages, I'll look down and it's 222 or it's 333.
Don't we do that without meaning to, and we send it on each other's face?
We don't mean to. It just happens.
I know. You have got this idiosyncrasy going about you that revolves continuously. And when you go out there, 1E1, Coffee Bean Queen, you want me to say your first name, too? You always say
sure.
That. Like, oh, I can't say your name.
It don't
anyway,
matter.
Tell about the Eagles. Tell about some of your stories about the awakenings. Tell about how the eagle flew down and the police followed you home because your lights were out and helped you home with the eagle flying into your, almost hitting your front view mirror.
Oh, my goodness. I've got so many eagle stories. When I'm looking or I'm in a situation in life, and I'm looking for confirmation or something, or, you know, we all go through things in life. And that eagle just appears. Yes, my headlights were out. I always see the eagle prior to getting my answers, and then, you know, how you backtrack after the fact, right? And it's, my God, the eagle. Yes, it was in the evening, and I was on my way home, and I lived in the country then, and my taillights were out, and I'd seen an eagle. Oh, that eagle almost hit my windshield. Came right down on the B-line road, and I'm on my way home later that evening, and the police pulled in behind me, and I thought, my God, what did I do now, you know? And they had told me that my taillights had been out, and they followed me home from a distance. They made sure they were behind me for a good 40 miles. And but you know the eye of an eagle. There was a theft in my boyfriend's home, and I was on my way home to his house in the farm the morning. And I'm never on the road at 8 in the morning. And I was on my way out to the farm, and the same thing happened. The eagle soared down in front of my car, which is unusual. How many times has that happened? And so I pondered on that the whole trip to my boyfriend Barry's. And when I had got there, he told me his place was broken into. And I had seen a culprit drive up the road, and long story short, that was the person. So the eagle showed me that. Amazing. Amazing.
And you even saw the color of the person. You went into detail. And overnight, exactly what happened, and you told them. You didn't care. You went up to them and told them.
Oh, I went and I approached the person.
Yeah?
I approached the person because I know who did it, because 1 and 1 is 2, 1E1. 1 and 1 is 2. I'm on my way out. I see an eagle. I'm never out at 8 in the morning. And then this eagle soars down in front of the car. And then when I'm on the road, I see this culprit go by me. With perennial vision, you know. And then I got to the farm, and Barry says I was robbed.
What's
and I knew
thing
I
that
approached. I went right to that person's home. Went right there. And got my evidence that I needed. And everything was retrieved. I didn't tell you that. Everything was retrieved.
Is it that? And that is such a great story. Tell them about how you feel when you've got that. Remember we used to say intuition or instinct, but that gut discernment, and how we've got to balance that situation out and just go with it. Because you say, quick, quick. Remember how I used to not want to clean up my house? And you go, quick, quick, quick. We're going to go clean up the kitchen. And we'd go clean up the kitchen. And then we'd go
now.
Do this. It's like that.
Yes.
It's our instincts.
The gut.
The gut.
The gut. We are like cleaning the house. How many times do we sit there and go, I've got to clean my house? And we spend more time and energy thinking about it actually getting up now and doing it.
That's right. It's the now and taking care of the outside of yourself so that the inside of yourself can be so good. And you have time to
definitely
meditate. If you're going to. Yeah. But you got me on a schedule. Coffee Bean Queen in 21, she taught me a schedule because I don't have a schedule. And she taught me to be structured. She also helped me learn how to put on makeup for my daughter's wedding. We have such a tight group of friends, don't we?
Oh, we sure do. Because we are one. We are one. I don't care distance.
The brownies are in the oven.
It don't matter about time. It don't matter about distance. We're all one. It's energy. It's soul. It's thoughts. How many times you're thinking of someone and they call you? Like tonight.
Look on your thing. I haven't called you ever but, what, 3 times in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought on you. I said, God, she would be so great. Show.
Well, I didn't know you called me tonight, and I sat down on Facebook, and I seen you had a show. And I said, you'll see it when you check your Facebook. I said, I'm going to call you tonight. I had you on my mind.
I love you, dear sister. I tell you what, I miss the days getting on the microphone in those rooms that were so full and just talking. Just talking about the angel.
Oh, the angels. The angels. Well, I'm helping people in my offline world
how
to connect with their angels.
Did you get that? Thank you on your email with the where Ellie Crystal had seen that. She called it a hologram. You get so many orbs and auras in your picture. It's mind-blowing. Remember when your dad visited you right when he died on his anniversary? Was it his birthday?
Yes.
Just a couple
months.
See
my father behind me in the picture I posted.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you know I have osteoporosis. I have not had a flare-up since that happened, Kathy.
No.
If you'll notice in the picture, he's got his arm on my back. He was massaging me. I was touched by an angel.
And
my life hasn't been the same since.
I kept going back and forth with that picture. That was just the most mind-blowing thing. Because it was an anniversary or his birthday, I don't remember.
It was before his birthday, 2 days before.
Tell the beautiful story about how you got there.
Now we're going to get into mental telepathy now. Prior, yes.
Oh,
I asked my father to show himself to me, and it was actually through the mirror. My son was on the computer, and there was a mirror behind him, and I'm in the opposite room. And I don't know if a mirror acts as a porthole. I don't know. That's what came to me. But it was through the reflection of the mirror that my son said, holy Mom, you've got to come see this. You've got a man standing behind you. So my Angie, you know Angela, she jumped up and got in there before I did and said, oh, my God. You know, I was just so glad that I had witnesses. You know, all my family, I've seen it. It sits on my desktop.
I'm going to show somebody this. But that picture is one of the most amazing pictures. If you don't mind, for this archive, that I put your...
Share it with the world. It's meant to be shown to people. Because so many people grieve. We lose loved ones, right? You know, in death, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so many people grieve because they feel that's the end of it. That they've lost that person, but in actuality, they haven't lost that person. There are no more physical boundaries. I was thinking about my father at that table that day, Kathy.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we ponder about how I miss you and, Dad, are you with me? And before that happened, I was sitting here scratching my head, and I said to Angela, I feel like I've got little pickies in my hair. Do I ever feel itchy? And then after I it happened, I was he was scratching me. He was rubbing me.
The world is that on the head? I mean, I itch at my head all the time and don't know what that is. So that's when they're talking to you?
That's when they're with you. Because I was, based on experience, this is what we do, people. It ain't based on someone else's experience. It's your own, correct? And before Adam took that picture, you met my son Adam online.
Yeah.
I was sitting there with a pen, and I'm going, now, I caught head lice once from my little daughter at the park when she was playing. You know what I mean? So I know that that itchy little pick, and I couldn't stop. And then I said, oh, my God, now I've got it on my neck, and I'm just, I'm like, itchy tingles. And you see in the picture, my father's got his arm on my back like he's stroking my hair, massaging me. Yeah. So I said, now I know.
And you know, did your temperature change?
Amazing.
Did you get a little cooler?
Pardon me?
Did you get a little cooler with your body temperature? Or warmer?
No.
It was just because it was familiar? Because when I get that, I don't know, I get a little cold. But with my father, remember I used to say, Daddy's talking to me, Daddy's talking to me, Daddy's talking to me.
Yeah.
Listen, Daddy's talking
to me. Oh, God, Dad talked to me, too. I told you about the 333, right? I don't want to hold up your time on the air.
No, that's
but 3 years, three days and 3 months after Daddy passed, they came and installed new ceiling fans in my home, and they had to turn off the hydro. I'm trying to make it fast here. And I was so addicted to the chat rooms back then. You remember, like you were saying, how it was. So I went laid on the sofa till my power came back on. And in my own voice, but it's always their tone and their character, forget about me. You asked me to let you know if I seen the light. My God, you never did listen, daughter dear. He used to call me daughter dear. And I'm tossing and turning, I'm fighting this, like thinking, is it me? What is this in my head? Well, you never did listen too well. I'm hearing this going on, Kathy. He said, you asked me to send you, tell you in my passing when if I seen the light, and when I did, and he did. And he said, I've sent you three new lights. See, I had three new ceiling fans come that day.
Oh!
And remember I told you I'd been seeing 333 for a week?
Yeah, and that's
everywhere I went, I was seeing, yes.
I mean, 333, the code.
Yes. He instructed me to go get a calendar and a piece of pen and paper. He said, you always need proof. So I did it. I go in the kitchen, and my old man's sitting there, and the landlord, and I'm sitting there, and I took a calendar, and I didn't say nothing to them, and then when I figured it out, it came back to the day my father passed away.
Oh, my God.
He spoke that in my mind, and you know how we toss and turn and go, oh, like, get out of there, you know, like, is it me? Am I going crazy? And when I sat down, I got my evidence, because I always need evidence.
Oh, no.
And it came back. Day and I witnessed that.
Because it's the mystery, the great mystery, and we always want to prove the mystery. We want to solve it.
Yes, we do.
And that's God. He's never ending of the mystery and the spirits and how they come to us. No, it's amazing. My family thought I was crazy when I first started talking about it. Mama wanted to see Daddy. So I said, dream about it. And that's when that peacock appeared, remember?
Yes.
That peacock appeared in her yard, and I was so excited in the chat room that I said,
yes.
Mom's on the phone. I mean, she got even in the chat room, and she got on the microphone through the phone and said, there's a peppy, the peacock, your daddy's here. And I looked at the peacock rising from ashes. And she fed that peacock, and she let it eat out of her hand. And then she goes, I'm going to have to get a peacock sitter for the beach when I go to the beach. And she goes, and I know this is somebody's member of their family. I just wish you would go away. I said, Mama, that peacock's going to be gone tomorrow because you told it to go. Whatever you speak, it will be. And sure enough, that peacock the next day after it visited a couple of days. And that's when she had the two white feathers fall on her shoulder. Remember that story?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. And she was, and my aunt said, "You're growing angel wings, Mimi." And then she was getting in her car a week later, and one flew into the car.
Oh, my.
And then the Pepe the Peacock arrived the next day. And spread his tail feathers wide open and stood right at her bedroom window on the perch and walked back and forth, strutting his feathers, back and forth, strutting his feathers. And I said, "Oh, my gosh, that's how Daddy's coming to you in your dream."
Oh, my God.
She feels him. She can literally feel him in her dream. My mother's almost become my dad's personality. Because, you know, when we get split in life and we think about death, which death is the last enemy of life, which Paul says in Corinthians 1, is that we feel half amputated all, our soulmate or our mate. And that's all I could tell my mother, is that she felt half amputated all when Daddy died, because they were together since 3 and 5 years old.
Oh, my. Wow.
I am so grateful you called. What would you like to tell the universe? If you could give them some good thought of what perspective and what words of wisdom do you have to give out there?
Oh, my. Have you got 20 hours? I would say keep looking up. Keep asking questions. Search with all your heart, your mind, your body, your soul. And these answers will come to you. And to live one day at a time and not stress over anything, because all things do come to pass. And know that you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Know that you're not alone when you feel alone. Never give up hope.
Everybody, Coffee Bean Queen, that's who this is. My 1E1. Lauren.
Up in Canada. In the great white north.
I can spell it.
Minus 40 below.
I can spell it. Anyway, I want to just say in the next little 5 minutes that we have, to tell about how when one person calls upon one person, how we open a conference and start those healing prayer groups, and how we send those energies out, and how we place our hands on the screen and send the energy through the screen, and we just pray, like I said earlier on the show, everybody comes together in their own religions and beliefs and makes the healings happen. And lift that person up.
Oh, God, yes. I must say, can I share this real briefly?
Oh, you share whatever you want.
Okay, I was in chat last night, the first time in a while.
How is everybody?
And I was sitting there. Oh, they're doing great, and the room is great.
Oh,
the room.
Is it?
I was up till 5 in the morning. Yes.
I just went in chat last night, but I changed my mind because I had work to do.
Thing is, people, always be available. Make yourself available. Never be afraid of being right or wrong. Just be available. A young lad came in the room, and he reminded me of myself so many years ago. We know we are different. How can I say that? So many people know they see things.
We had it like an upside. You know what I always said? I'm a upside down in a right side up world, and we need to flip it over inside out to make it anew.
Young fellow came in chat.
He knew he was different. He knew he was different, and?
Yes, and no one responded, and I was reluctant at first, and I spoke to him, and he was asking about something, and I started picking up on him, and we ended up in PM for like till 5 in the morning, and I introduced some great people in chat that you know as well. And so, because I'm not always on, you know, and this person knew he was different. His wife don't understand him. His family's ready to have him locked up as mine were. As I've been admitted, I put myself in the hospital a few times. But he didn't know, understand the anxiety that he feels and what causes it, cause and effect, you know. And then he talked about the secret, and he said, you know, I applied the secret, and I met you tonight. He said, before I came in, and he was never in the chat room before, he said, I asked God to send me someone that I would understand what I'm going through. And when I spoke to myself, it was like I was him. Do you understand?
And,
yeah. Yeah, and maybe I was like a moon's maiden or you. You know what I mean?
Huh?
It set me back 10 years ago. I was this young man, and it felt so good to be able to help him and tell him it's going to be all right. You're not crazy.
Bless
you're not heart. Crazy, you know.
Exactly. I went to the eye doctor. I went to the ear doctor. I went to the hospital. I said, what? And I shook my physician's neck. I grabbed him by both hands, and I shook him with his neck. And I said, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? He said,
yeah,
I think you need to go to the hospital. I said, there's something wrong with me. No, you don't understand. I want you to mark this down right now, today. Today, in my chart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gave me that copy. And I had to get the eye doctors and the ear doctors to copy too, because my hearing was very good. And my eyesight was exquisite on the seeing far away, but it's the seeing close up that I can't do. And that's because I can't see sometimes away from my nose. What is that called?
Nearsighted?
You know, you can't see the object because you can't get your nose out of the way. What is that saying?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Oh, 21, we've run out of time. Let's say goodnight.
You have a good one, and I will talk to you later.
Thank you so much for calling. 21, Coffee Bean Queen of Yahoo. And you're listening to Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, wishing you all the best in the world in your awakenings and your journey. We're over and out.